Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is a great day, and one of the special days of our Christian calendar as we celebrate, as we remember Jesus' death on Good Friday and what he's accomplished for us. He saved us. And he's accomplished so much by way of the cross. And today I want to read from John 10. I want to take a kind of a different scriptural focus than the normal, say, crucifixion narratives that we're used to. We heard Taya share that before. But this is what it says in John 10. I want to focus on Jesus who said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." I want to read that again. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Beautiful. And we know ultimately that Jesus Christ did that by way of the cross, by way of his death, and he cares deeply for each one of us. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, as we open your word in John 10. Give us insight into this passage, particularly on a day of days where you've died for our sins and you were buried and you rose again. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think sometimes when we think of a shepherd, it's good to think about what that means. In an Australian context, our shepherds are really Aussie farmers. And I don't know if that's the best picture, because if you think of an Aussie farmer driving a sheep with the sheepdogs barking to a certain destination, and perhaps that's not the best picture, and certainly I think not what Jesus is equating to his listeners. And Borchet says this about Eastern shepherds. There's two beautiful pictures, which I think are really helpful as we think about this. Here's the first picture, and I think we've got a picture here of the Jaffa Gate. And it's one where the shepherd is leading his sheep through the city of Jerusalem, just outside of this gate. And in a modern context, cars whizzing by while the shepherd sang and gently whistled to his sheep. And they dutifully followed him despite all of the bustling traffic nearby. That's a good picture, isn't it? The second picture is of a group known by the Bedouins. And what would happen is these shepherds would basically combine their flocks, four shepherds, combined their flocks all together, and as morning came, each shepherd took his turn singing to call his sheep. And as they sang to their sheep and called them, they dutifully followed and separated themselves from the larger flock as they began to follow into their feeding in the hills. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Thinking about the image of a shepherd singing to his sheep, and perhaps I could push it a little further and say, isn't that something maybe Jesus would do for us? Maybe sing towards us, call us in his most melodic voice, protecting and caring for the flock. And so this is what it says in John 10 verse 1. This is where I want to start this morning. And what I want to do is I want us to kind of pause in the midst of these scriptures and really reflect. We're going to do that by song in a moment and enter into that way. So verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And so we're painting the picture, or Jesus is this messianic figure who cares for his sheep. He cares for his sheep exactly the way God cares for us. Beautiful. "But the thief is the enemy of the sheep." Here identified really as the uncaring leaders of the day, the Pharisees. And most likely it was that. And so Jesus is setting a tone really early on, and we'll hear this verse a little bit later, that he wants to emphasize a rich and satisfying life that can only be obtained by following the true shepherd. You know, we have that deep longing in our hearts, that deep longing to be satisfied, the deep peace that we need in our minds that we desperately need. Verse 3, "To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, whenever we see that word, know, K-N-O-W, that's not an informational term. That's a highly, highly relational, intimate term in the Scripture, particularly in the Gospel of John. Jesus is speaking of a very intimate relationship with him. And the gatekeeper and the sheep, they both recognize Jesus' voice as someone who will protect and watch over their welfare. Jesus owns the sheep. He has this intimate ownership of the sheep. And it reminds me that we have been bought at a price. By way of his death and resurrection, we've been bought at a price. And he speaks of a close communion with the Lord. This is what verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It's not enough just to hear the voice. It's not enough just to be known by God. We must follow him as well. "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." That's such good news. We've been saved. Saved forever. We've been sealed with this. There's this word I'm trying to think. We've been sealed, haven't we? That's the word I'm looking for. We have been sealed in Jesus' name. No one can snatch us out of the hand of Jesus. It's truly amazing to be known by God. As we think about that, the creator of the universe, we think about he's created everything. He's created us. We are known by him. And that's simply amazing. I want us just to pause for a moment and think about that. I'm going to play a track. It's a beautiful hymn, about a three-minute hymn. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And as this song plays, you feel free to close your eyes. Let those words sift into our hearts and reflect upon that Jesus knows our name. Yes, Lord, we do thank you that you are our good shepherd and that you call us by name. You know our name. You know us intimately. And we thank you and we worship you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing, friends, in verse 7, Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door to the sheep." Jesus is the only way into the sheep pen, and there's only one way out as well. Through Jesus, he's the only access, isn't he, to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life to God through the cross. Verse 8, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out in and out and find pasture." You know, Jesus figuratively talking about a place of security where intruders are not allowed. It's a pleasant place. It's a place filled with peace. It's a place filled with joy. It's security. It's a place where we belong. That's what Jesus is talking about. And he says we will be saved. And he saved us from many things, friends. Saved us from our sins. He saved us from a messed up life. He saved us from a life full of regret. I love to use this expression as well. He saved us from a life that's mediocre and average. He's given us a purpose. And ultimately, he has saved us from perishing under the wrath of God. He saved us from that. You know this beautiful scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he loved us, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish." That says we were already perishing apart from Christ, but will give us eternal life. Because here's verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." You know, it's true, when we create a life that is quite apart from God, I believe people place themselves in a dangerous territory of the thief, the enemy. But Jesus knows our name. He came, he said, that they may have life, we may have life and have it abundantly. Life Jesus offers, to be honest, I don't think we'll ever be able to comprehend how much and totality that life is. It's beyond our thinking. It's beyond our imaginations. It's beyond our wildest dreams. That life is abundant. Hallelujah. The Good Shepherd loves us so much. He deeply loves us. And he says, I'm here right now that you can have life and have it to the full. But friends, we must choose to follow his voice. We must resolve to follow him and to follow his voice. And one of the things that in songs and Christian faith that has expressed that thought of following his voice or following him is this idea of we turn our focus or we turn our eyes upon Jesus. You know this hymn? And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. I think on a day like today, where we turn our eyes upon him, on Good Friday, we want the things of earth to grow strangely dim. Let's do that now. Worship and turn our eyes upon him. Lord, we thank you as we turn our hearts towards you. Give us grace and strength to resolve to follow your voice and to follow you. I want to repeat that verse again in verse 11 that says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we think about that 2,000 plus years ago. Jesus laid his life down for that generation and every generation to follow after that and every future generation to follow after that. He is truly the good shepherd who sacrificed his own life, even death on a criminal's cross. I am, Jesus said in verse 14, the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me. And I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Hallelujah. Verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Resurrection Sunday is coming, isn't it? That's what it says. It says, I lay down my life only to take it up again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. You know, this amazing thing that Jesus was able to lay down his life by such an awful, awful way to die, to be crucified. And he was crucified to demonstrate his love for each one of us. But supernaturally, Jesus was raised from death on the third day. The very resurrection we'll celebrate on Sunday. He did this because of his great love, his great care, his wonderful compassion towards us. He did this to please the will of his Father. The chance for a fresh start in life. Maybe a fresh start today for some. And to give us real life beyond our dreams and our most passionate, wildest imaginations. But friends, I want to say this again. We must choose to follow his voice. We must resolve to follow him and his voice. You know, today as we remember, as we just contemplate that amazing sacrifice of Jesus, as we think about that grueling death on the cross, he has forgiven our sins. He's forgiven our sins, and I love to express it this way. He's forgiven our past sins. Amen? He's forgiven today's sins. Amen? And guess what? He's forgiven the sins in the future as well. Hallelujah. How good is our Lord? And how good, he just doesn't do that. He invites us into this intimate relationship and he knows each of our names. And he invites us into that full knowledge of him. And so this morning, I want to conclude with a beautiful song with Taya. We're going to play this and minister as we close this morning. And I want to invite you again just to reflect on Jesus as Saviour and what he's done for you. And maybe you could think about this one or two ways. And here's the first way. If you know Jesus as Lord, this is a time to give thanks. This is a time to say, thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for the blood applied that you died for me. And just worship him with everything this morning. And secondly, some of us, and this is what I love about Lifestreams Carawarra, is that many of us are in different places in terms of our search for God. That's really great in the sense of that you feel comfortable here. And maybe this is the moment, as we sing this song, that you accept Jesus as Lord, that you accept him as Saviour, that you accept the gift from the Good Shepherd who loves you and died for you. And there's two ways to do this in the sense of Acts 3 says, if we call upon the name of Jesus, we will be saved. And Jesus Christ, to accept that he died for your sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And to confess him as your Lord and Saviour. And guess what? The Lord gives us a new life and he also gives us a fresh start, which is wonderful. So as we sing this song now, let's worship the King, the Saviour. So that's our prayer today, Lord. We worship you on this Good Friday. And we love you. We bless your name. We again just say thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. And Lord, that's our prayer. When we're alone, when we're going through trouble, Lord, even on the day of our death, we know that heaven awaits. Give us Jesus. Give us the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who resides in our hearts, who confirms all of these things. And we worship you today in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Lifestreams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.